I'm pumped, bro. We're back.
Hell yes, man.
Once again, new location.
What has been?
New location.
Way too long.
Same bullshit show.
Done. Love it.
Kassan Wallace.
How you been doing?
We are calling him Kassan because Sam Presti, he says everything right.
Dude, I'm down with it. When he was asked how he said his name, he said Kassan. So, you know what? We're going to go with it, man. So, I'm down. Hope everybody's doing good. Good to see you. I had a vacation. Mark, I know you have had stories about rock slides, but I had a story about my rock slide, helping my son go down the rock slide, and was like, hey, be careful, there's a slippery spot, and I slipped and fell. Dude, I got, like, marks all over my body, man, from the rock face that I ran into. So, even though it says rock slide, guys, it's not always safe.
Dude, so was it like, it was a, like a water slide, right?
Yeah, it was a water slide that was just rocks, essentially. It was just cemented in.
Okay.
But the sides of it were those like a coral rock, you know, where you even put your fingers on it, like it cuts you.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Jude, be careful over this area. Stay to your left. And then as I took a step right next to my wife, man, like I went like face down, just boom, just bit it. And then next thing you know, I'm like, okay, I've got to stop my momentum here. So I slapped the wall because I was like face first into it almost. And that's when I was able to kick myself around, which tore up my feet and ankles. But it wasn't my face. So, it's a win, bro.
It's a win. It's a win. It's a rock. But
man, that hurt, though. I'll be honest with you. It put me out. So, and where are you at now, man?
You're on Georgia, though, right? That's where that happened?
That was in Georgia. So, now I'm back home, and pretty great to be here. What's up, Carson?
I'm out in Austin right now. So, Austin, Texas.
Austin, dude. Texas.
Man.
Dang, dude.
So, Carson, you're talking about the Harden and the 76ers thing. Okay, so let's
break
this down real quick, right?
So done. Let's do it. Let's talk about Harden.
Opted in. And almost not to surprise by me, but like the Sixers didn't really want him on the team. They wanted him to opt in so they could trade him, so they would get something for him. So
yes.
Bro, it's like, did I nail it? Is there anything else?
No, but they want something significant in return.
But they don't want Harden.
So let's just talk about what they could get. Like, I personally think that there's an opportunity for Harden to go to the Knicks. I think there's the Pelicans. I think there's, you know, an LA team that would be interesting, you know? But let's just be honest, though. Like, this is all about, like, what the highest cost will be. And that's the problem. I don't know a lot of people that are going to be willing to put out big name players. I see some teams willing to do some draft picks and some young talent, but that's not what the 76ers need. You know, they need another star to go along with Embiid. Otherwise, they don't have a chance. So for me, I'm looking at the situation. If I'm the 76ers, man, like get rid of Harden, cool. But if you don't get a lot in return, then you got to move on. And what does that mean? Dude, that means Embiid's got to go. Like, you got to restart that system there because it was trusting the process was a jacked up system. It really hurt Philadelphia. And I think there's a better way of doing it, Oklahoma City Thunder style, you know? And you could get that. Think about what you could get for Embiid at this point of his career. You could get a lot. And that's what you got to be looking at is that if you can't rebuild, you can't get a lot in for James Harden, you got to look back at the drawing board. And that's what's crazy about what's going on with the whole league is. Teams are looking at it like that. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get here? What are we going to... I mean, it's insane, man. Like, I was looking at the... let's just use this in context. So the Golden State Warriors, they're $62 million, I think, into the tax right now. If they sign Draymond Green onto a contract for $33 million a year, do you know how much that would cost them in luxury tax?
I bet it would be $90 million in luxury tax.
$180 million in taxes, bro. That's what it would cost them for 1 year of Draymond Green, bro. Not $33 million and $100. This is why it's crucial teams are getting under that cap. And I can't keep saying this enough over and over again. You're looking at the system right now. If they don't sign Draymond Green, right? Mm-hmm. If Golden State doesn't sign Draymond Green, they can't do anything. They got nothing. They got zero. They got zilch. They got nothing left. They can't add anybody else. What the team got is what they got. And you think about that, man. Like, that's handicapped to every single possibility unless they go and start trading some of their stars. Again, the NBA is going to be tearing down in the next 2 years in a way that we've never seen before. And that's what makes it possible for guys like Chris Paul to go to Golden State or, you know, Bradley Beal to go to the Suns. Like, it's a matter of time before we see James Harden go blank. And then we see, you know, this player go here, Damian Lillard go here. Nobody wants to be messing around with these massive contracts if they can't win. It's win now, pay the money, or just push reset. Because there's no in between anymore, guys.
Yeah. So, Carson thinks maybe Paul George or James Harden.
Well, see, Clippers said they are not trading any of their players, good players. So it would be shocking if they traded Paul George because, let's just be honest, I think Paul George is a better player than James Harden, all-around player than James Harden. I don't know why they would trade Paul George unless they're like, oh, we want to get healthy, but I don't get it.
Being like, you know, having two small forwards and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George as your best players isn't what we want. We want to have, you know, you don't want to trade Kawhi, so you would say Paul George was the one that they could. Maybe we get a player that's better with the ball in his hands as a guard position. But, I'm with you. Paul George, I would prefer to keep Paul George than James Harden. But I'd also prefer to keep Kawhi Leonard than Paul George, and that kind of leads you there.
Well, and I think you got to get to the point where, like, you got to look at disgruntled players. You got to look at the Pelicans. Like, maybe Zion, they want to move on from Zion. And you could put Embiid and Zion next together, you know, and you could have a team right there. So, again, this is all... There's so much that's going to be happening in the next, like, I don't know, the next 30 days, bro. We're all going to be sitting here and being like, well, I didn't see that, or I saw that. That was a cool trade there. Or, you know, like, there's too many players like Zion Williams that are taking so much cap up. And he's played, what, four seasons now? Five seasons? And he's only played a third of the games.
Yeah.
Like this is a different league, guys. Like, the bad contracts you can't do anymore. Like, guys like Zion Williams, like, yes, he's an unbelievable player, but the future, they're never going to allow him to get this much money because his injury track. You can't just dump out money to players, these guys. What's up, man?
Dude.
Well, I want to talk about that. Lindy Waters' era is not done in Oklahoma City. We have 3 2-way contracts, and I think it's always been a plan of Sam Presti is to pay Lindy Waters this year, come back for another two-way contract. Like, this is the way the Thunder have to go. Like until he's outplayed or he decides to move on, like, I don't think the time is undone. He has too much Oklahoma City Thunder pride, bro. There's no way we're trading him or getting rid of him.
So let's talk a little bit about this draft because we're both excited about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Cason Wallace, as everybody else other than Sam Presti knows him. I guess Sam Presti and his mom. But Cason Wallace, to everybody.
Cason Wallace, baby.
Inside. We were obviously pretty stoked about it. And to me, when I went back and listened to us talking about the idea of getting him before, we both were really excited about the idea of what the fit, of what it would mean, what it would say about the team that Sam Presti saw picking a guard at this position would really mean about Thunder, about the future of the NBA. And now we're looking at it, and it's hard not to get really excited about what he can do. So tell me what the favorite things about his game for you right now, now that he's on the Thunder.
Man, the more I watch him, the more I see him play, the more I recognize that if he lives up to his style of play and the way he plays on defense and offense, we have officially drafted Lu Dort's replacement, guys. I mean, we just got to come to terms with that right now. And then the reason is because it comes to the money, and it comes to the money, and it comes to Cason Wallace being able to outplay Dort in the next couple of years. That's all on Cason.
What's up, Corey?
I mean, that We can try to say Lou Dort has, you know, more than 2 years left, but when he has a contract for 20-something million a year, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder know his time is limited because we'd have to pay in the next 2 years all of our players. Okay, so if we're having to pay or sign contracts to most of these guys in 2 years, we're going to be coming to the table and saying, how can we make this happen? Well, Lou Dort's $20 million a year is going to be a tradable asset. No matter what people want to say about that, that's still, I would consider, a top 10 pick 3 years down the road. And Sam Presti, understanding that, I think with all that's going on, Cason Wallace is that player, in my opinion, that I could see that takes over Dort's spot, that plays crazy hard defense, that would be one of the better ISO defenders on the team at coming on as a freshman or as a first year rookie, you know, like his ability to play ISO defense is spectacular. His way of getting to the hole, like, think about this, guys. Lou Dort gets to the hole incredibly well. He misses a lot of fucking layups, right? And it's just, I mean, that's the truth. Like, I can try to, you know, sugarcoat it any way you want, but Lou Dort misses a lot of layups. That's one of Kaysan's gifts, guys. He's so good at finishing. So if he's going out there and he's up, you know, Lou Dort's not getting better, right? If Lou Dort continues not getting better and he still stays in that path, Kaysan outplays him in a year. Kaysan's that good. And I keep on looking at him. I keep on understanding, like, this player is not a normal player. And that's why I get excited about the fact that we were able to get him, even if we had to jump up to 10 and take off, you know, half of our salary.
Let's talk about Davis Perdons. Do you think he's going to help us? Because we jumped up, we got him to take money off of the Mavericks.
I like him.
He's a better fit than Mike Muscala.
Listen, he's not going to get any more time than Mike Muscala got. Like, he's not one of those guys that are going to go out there and take, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game. He's just not. He's going to be a specialized player playing in certain situations and playing when we need him to shoot, when we need him to go out there. But he's consistently what I would consider a 38 to 42% three-point shooter. I think we can get him better in the system because, let's just be honest, he's already played for San Antonio. So, you know, Coach Chip has had his hands in him for a long time. Oh, damn, that sounded dirty. But Chip Kelly, though, like, I mean, that's where we're at. So if he's saying, get him, I know I can make him better, then we listened and we got him and we were able to move up to the 10th pick.
I think that it doesn't matter if we can make him better. It was worth it to move up to 10. If we get any production out of him, it's a bonus. It absolutely is a complete bonus.
Sure. Sure.
And look, I couldn't be more thrilled with this draft. I really couldn't be. Like, what we did,
I agree, man.
Moving up to 10, we talk about it every fucking year, man. Like, if in doubt, pick the best Kentucky guard available. Like, if you don't know what to do,
you're right. I'm
saying Sam didn't know what to do. And look, I look back, I think in our previous podcast about Cason, I said he was maybe 6'2", 6'3". Like, I was definitely harsh on him in a lot of ways about his ability to defend multiple positions and offensively and stuff. But now that I've kind of like, hey, he's a Thunder fit, which means Sam Presti really likes him. So now I have to look at my concerns and look at them and do away with those and start looking at more potential. My question really comes down to with him is, like, is he a future All-Star? And I think he is. I think he is actually, to me, like, and I get why people are going to balk at this, but he's a better prospect than Scoot Henderson. And a lot of that comes down to, like, we saw Scoot play a professional level where he was the most dynamic athlete on the court most nights. And you saw, like, we're going to see some of that in the NBA, but it's going to take, like, time for him to recognize that these other guys are better athletes a lot of times. And whereas, like, Kaysen's game, it's mostly, like, it's predicated on what we like to do, which is defend full court sometimes, but at least up to half court. And then, like, his shot is pure. So he's going to find the ball in rotation. He's going to find a lot of open shots. And when he puts the ball on the floor, he gets to the deck. He's a real playmaker. So,
yes.
Like, I know Scoot has all these things he can do, but in the end, like, Scoot is – he needs the ball in his hand to be at his best. And I really think, based on, like, the operations that I've learned about Kaysen within the Kentucky system was – he started out being on the ball, and then as the year went on, they shifted him off the ball. Or maybe it was vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, I'm seriously watching these highlights. You know, I'm not really tracking too much. But My point is, he has that versatility. And if you can put him off the ball, well, that's exactly where we need him to start. But as his time goes on, there's going to be opportunities for him to break down defenses from, you know, late closeout, rotations, things like that. So, like, this is a huge fit. This is a huge pick by Presti. It's a riverboat gambler saying, you know, I've got the nuts, and I'm going to put him in.
Yeah, I got, what's up, OSU Trey Deuce, man. I appreciate the idea of Miles Turner. I just think the price would be too high at this moment for him. And I really like our matchup, as you just put on here, Shea, Giddy, J-Dub, Chet. I get it.
Welcome.
Move away from the Turner idea, and I think that we would have a really solid, because I
– Dude, tell me why you
– We have to start four guards, bro.
Tell me how you think Keontae Johnson
– Okay.
Could make it so we don't need to go get a big – like, is he legit first-round talent who didn't get picked in the first round because of the heart issue?
Yes, absolutely. But let's just go back to having Keontae Johnson and – my very favorite hustle buddy out there, which is Kenny Hustle, right?
Kenny Hustle.
Our Texas TCU grown guy, right? So check it out. You have two guys now that can play 1 through 5 that are 6'6". 1 through 5 that are 6'6". Okay? That's as simple as that. You guys can put it together in any way you guys want, but you guys are going to watch how Sam Presti and Coach D have really turned this into a all-guard set, because we can go four guards at any time, okay? You throw in a post player, and then we start getting beat by a team that's going straight up guards, right?
Yep.
We throw Kenny Hustle in there. We throw Keontae Johnson in there. Guys that can guard all positions, it doesn't matter anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what's so exciting about getting guys like this that play the positions like they do. Like Keontae Johnson was, when I watched him in Florida play alongside Trey Mann.
Trey Mann?
Like, it was crazy, bro. Like, think about it, man. Like, I get excited when I start thinking about Keontae Johnson and the impact that he can have. And not just that, but think about this, man. Keontae Johnson is older than, guess how many Thunder players currently on the roster?
You tell me.
8.
About half of them. A little.
Think about that, yeah. Guys. Keontae Johnson's coming into as a rookie, older than 8 of the guys, including Poku, who was drafted 4 years ago now. So, to me, it's
4 years, bro.
What's that?
I can't believe it's already been 4 years.
Is it three or 4 years? Whatever it's been. I think this is the third draft that it's been since he's been drafted. But
crazy.
My point is that this is crazy. Like, the defensive aspect that Keontae Johnson and Kenny Hustle, Kendrick Williams brings on top of the three guards that we have that could be out there, or four guards at a time. You throw Chet out there, and damn, dude. What Pat Beverly said about Chet, bro?
Dude, I didn't watch it yet. My bad.
Okay. All right. So he's talking about, on his show, he's talking about, you know, different players, whatever. And then the guy asked him about what he thought about Chet. And Pat Beverly's like, damn, man, that guy's nice. I've been talking to a lot of players in the league, and they're all like, it's better. He's better than Victor. You know, like he has that mentality. He has that dog mentality, which is, it's scary for a guy that size. Like, not everybody has that.
Shane?
Bro, just listening to Patrick Beverly talk about Chet just got me, like, amped. Because, listen, if Chet comes out there and he's averaging, let's just say, 3 blocks a game, you know, 12 rebounds and 12 points, right? What are we talking about, man? We're talking about somebody that's so next level as a rookie that people are like, oh, we don't, like, everybody's like, we need a big man, right? Chet is going to prove everybody wrong in a matter of weeks when everybody is starting to look at him and being like, holy shit, dude, like, he can guard, like, 2 through 5 straight up.
Right.
You know, like, he could do all these things that everybody's been talking about they're afraid Victor can do. No, Chet is setting the mark. He is the guy. Everybody else is saying Victor, but they're going to forget about Victor once Chet doing his thing. Because, listen, yes, Victor's going to have success in San Antonio. I'm not talking, like, negative about Victor, but I'm saying what Chet, guys, Chet is the reason the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be a championship team. We can talk about our guards. We can talk about this or that. But when it comes down to it, there's never going to be a player like Chet ever again.
I agree, bro.
In the history of the game.
Let's talk about what Super Blood Wolf Moon just said. Jay will take some charges. And that's right. Like, you're going to funnel
him there. What do you got? What do you got? We got 82 games, right? He plays, let's just say, 70 games. How many charges does he take next season? Is it above 80 or below 80?
Right. And I'm thinking it's above, bro, for sure.
I'm thinking he's going for triple digits this next year. I'm not going to lie. I think triple digits is on his mind.
Well, I think he got like 50 in a year in college, and that's a much shorter season. So, yeah, why not, dude? So then on top of that, bro, we're talking about OSU Trey Deuce is asking us, is Chet going to be ready for the five? Do you think he's going to be the four? And we talk about this in different ways, right?
A lot. We talk about this a lot.
There's a difference between playing like a position like on both ends of the court and really like transitioning. Like Chet's going to want to catch the ball on the perimeter offensively. So he's not going to be like that traditional five. But he does protect the paint in a lot of times a weak side help. But he can take – like the primary defense. If you go back to his college days,
Jalen
Duran, when they went head to head, like he can take one-on-one defensive assignments against fives, but most of the time you are going to want him playing off the ball. And that's where Jay will, he can play defense on the five. And then offensively, he can kind of also more play like high post traditional five. Mwani's saying it's positionless.
But our defense, man, this goes back to our defense and understanding what our defense plays. What did we play a lot of last year? We played a lot of like almost a 2-3 extended zone.
Yeah, it was like a hybrid man zone for sure.
It was a hybrid man zone, right? We didn't get a lot of technicals for it. It was very effective. And you put Chet in that type of zone and you got a top 10 defense. Like last year we were top. I think by accumulating all the stats, I would consider us a top 10 defense last year. Okay. Right. So if that's the case, and you're putting Chet into the middle of the defense instead of Jay Will or JRE or a Poku, right? Mm-hmm. And you insert Chet there, we're all in my opinion, we're already a top five defensive team. Mm-hmm. You know, like we can push this in any direction we want, but when we're talking about the future of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we've left out Chet for so many times, it's to me like that's why that fuel is there for Chet now. Chet's there out proving anybody. And I want to say this about Chet. I've never seen Chet without a basketball in his hand. Have you? Like even with a suit on, he has a basketball in his hand.
I think you're right.
How many players in the history of the game, and it goes back to when we were growing up and there was this guy that used to talk about Pistol Pete Maravich, right? Mm-hmm. He did everything with a basketball, right? Like remember that one time, what was it? How many hours did they say that he couldn't twirl the ball in his hand for, and he like made his fingers bloody for doing it. It was like, I don't know, like 10 hours or something like that.
Yeah. I remember that. And he just do one finger at a time.
Yeah. Until he like bloody. Anyways. But the point is that like you see these guys where the basketball is their life, you know, and they see the passion.
What's up, Archie?
Like to me, that was so impressive with Chet is every time there was a photo op, he had a basketball. There's a basketball around, he's grabbing and putting it under his armpit. Yeah. Like those guys, you know, they breathe, they feed it. And one of the players that I go back to seeing as a young player, always having a basketball in his hand, was Kobe Bryant. Always had a basketball in his hand. You know, like these are the guys that are emulating these heroes, and they're going out there and they're picking the right guys to emulate, and they're going out there and executing, bro. And it's so beautiful. It's so nice. Chet is going to be one of those guys that we look back and it's going to change the game. But more so, look at the players around him. Because of Chet, we have this idea that we can go four guards. Think about that, guys. Because of Chet, we could go four guards.
Yeah.
What do we got? Shai, Josh Giddey, Dort, and J-Dub. We just pound that shit. Nobody's going to be able to guard us. Like, how are they going to guard us? They're going to put a forward on J-Dub? Mistake. Oh, no. Put your forward on the other tall guy that we have out there. Oh, put him on Shai. Yeah. Put your forward on Shai. How's that going to work for you? Like, they're going to have to go guard sets against us. And one big man. And what is our big man way more efficient at? scoring with the basketball in his hand than almost anybody that we've seen in recent history as far as big men. It's going to be one-on-one, our big man versus your big man. Four guards, we got you. But the thing about our four guards is we're not small four guards.
Right.
We're big four guards. We're 6'9", 6'7", 6'6". Like, we're not chumps out there, man. Like, when we're talking about the history of the game, we're talking about how this team has been drafted, and we're talking about potentially championships. We don't take that lightly, man, because the reality of it is, in order to have championships in today's game, that means you're going to have to be able to extend players and stay under the cap. How does that happen? Through the draft. What do we have a shit ton of? Draft picks.
Picks, baby.
So how are we going to continue to keep these guys healthy and surround them by good players? It's because we're going to draft guards.
Yeah.
Why are we going to draft guards? Because 12 guards on a team, 12 guards on a team now isn't enough in the NBA anymore. It is not enough. You need more than 12 guards now on a team, because the way the game is being played, if you want a healthy team, you want to keep your players healthy, you want to keep your guards healthy, you need specialized guards, you need defensive guards, you need scoring guards, you need multi-purpose guards, you need guards that can guard 1 through 5 or 5 through 2. You need guards that can do whatever it takes to step up. And guess what? Oklahoma City is Thunder is littered with them. Everybody else is seeing it, and they're all scared now. And I get it. People are like, oh, scared of the Oklahoma City Thunder. No, I'm serious, guys. We've accumulated an insane amount of massive, big guards. When everybody else is going to be trying to get guards, they're going to have shorter guards to guard. What, Scoot Henderson? What is Shea versus Scoot? Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Like, when you have 4 inches on a player, it's a different ball game.
Yeah, dude. And one thing OSU Traduce
is up, Chris?
Talking about here is, like, the playoffs. To get to the finals, we're going to have to go through Joker, and presumably the matchup would be Chet versus Joker. How do you think that would roll?
Dude, I'm excited about that matchup. You know why? How many big men are going to be able to take Joker out in the paint? How many big men are going to be able to prevent Joker's crazy insane passes?
Yeah.
With the crazy long arms and the 7'1" and the passion to play defense. How many guys are going to be able to stop?
What's up, Chris?
Joker. Like, Joker is going to take Chet for his money maybe the first year or two.
Right.
But after that, it's over, man. Like the new big men are coming out, and the new big men are going to be like Jokic plus 2 inches, plus 3 inches, plus faster, plus better at scoring, plus more efficient passer, better ball handling skills. Like, he, you know, what the Joker has brought the level of the game up for center is truly spectacular. Because if you're a center in the league, you can't say that you haven't emulated your game slightly with the Joker. You look at Chet and you're like, wow, like, the way he passes, the way he sees the floor, you know that he watched the Joker.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can go down this line. Every single player in the last 5 years have noticed what we've noticed about Joker. He's a special player. Got to give him space. You got to give him time.
Super Blood Wolf Moon said, Giddy, SGA, J-Dub, Kaysen are like the Ninja Turtles. They're all about the same height. Some are tougher than others. Different skills, but they all ninjas. I love it, man.
All ninjas. All Hell yeah, dude.
Ninjas, dude. What do you think, man? You think they should start wearing those Jimmy Butler headbands that he got away with for a little bit, the Ninja Turtle headband?
Yeah.
Everybody gets their own color.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I love it, dude. So let's talk,
man,
about summer.
And Chris.
Oh, go ahead, Dave. You go.
Chris, man, I love what you're saying about J-Dub, Santa Clara. Dude, he is putting some serious muscles on.
Really?
Like, dude, like, listen, like, I want to say, and this is nice because, like, you know how you take baby fat and you turn it into muscle? You know, like, he had a little bit of baby fat on him. And if you look at him now, man, I'm not going to lie, dude. Like, I'm a little bit intimidated. And the thing is about it is that, like, every rookie I've ever known, their first year in the league of eating right, working out on the schedule, you know, the regiment, essentially, the professional habits that the Oklahoma City Thunder teach, every time I see it, man, you get impressed. But J-Dub's another level, man. Like he went past people last year. He's going to go through people. He's going to go past people. He's going to go above people. Like, his game is truly spectacular. And when we're talking about a guard being forced, not forced, but, you know, being the forward of this team is crazy, man. Like, think about it. Like J-Dub is literally going to be playing their best forward in almost every single game. Every single game, he's going to be playing their best forward. And I think if you think about that and you think about what he's going to be able to bring to the table in a course of 5-6 years, like, man, you're going to see, and I told you this last year after the draft, you're going to see the end of the draft or the future of the draft. It's going to be Oklahoma City Thunder. Chet would be the first repick in the draft. Number two would be J-Dub. Number three, blank. Number four, blank. Number five, Ousmane Dieng. You know, like, that's the future of what's happening with this draft class that we have. I mean, now you're talking about J-Will, too. You throw J-Will in that draft class, now you have four players that I would consider a top 15 pick in most drafts. It's insane, bro.
Just give him time, because Ousmane hasn't even got warmed up. J-Will is still finding his feet, but he's already shown he has elite skills. It's exciting, man.
Appreciate OSU, Deuce.
We're going to see what happens with the Summer League coming up. Dave, you said it's about a week away. Avax is asking about the roster. Have we seen a schedule yet? Do you know anything?
I know. I haven't seen a schedule. I haven't seen a roster. I do expect a couple names I haven't recognized before, but here's the reality. I mean, the roster is going to be helping build the Thunder the rest of the spots. So it's not necessarily going to have the Chet and the Josh and the J-Dubs out there. We might see a J-Dub out there for a split second, but if I'm the Thunder, I'm saying top seven, don't Summer Leagues, no. You know, like, I watched Giddy get injured one time. We watched Chet get injured in Summer League stuff. Like, no, I'm good on my top guys not going to Summer League. I'm just good.
Ousmane got hurt the tail end of his tail on the end of the Summer League. So
his ass tail.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm really vibing this Summer League. I think that this is going to be a big moment for the young players. I think, obviously, for us as fans, like, this thing comes up so fast after the draft. It's almost like whiplash. So, like, as these games come on, we'd like to get out and start doing watch parties again, even though it's Summer League.
Hell yeah, we're doing watch parties.
But this is important for us in the development of this team. This is a new phase for this team because, like a number of people in the chat have already mentioned, we're all eyeing the playoffs. Like, so, like Dave's saying, why play top seven guys in the preseason, not preseason, in the Summer League when you're already looking at the playoffs and saying, like, that's our mission. Let's stay healthy for as long as we can, and whatever that means, that means. I hope Dieng gets some minutes.
Well, top seven also take out your six best guards, which gives Kaysen an opportunity, you know, to do his thing. It gives Keontae Johnson the chance to do his thing to really help set the table, because if you look at the Summer League, it set the table for J-Dub, and then J-Dub got injured, which hindered his, you know, what, 10 games or 15 games that he missed. But then I don't think he missed a game after that. So again, it's like, you know, like, keep these guys healthy as quickly and as long as possible.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun, man. 50 win season, like Unk says. I love the idea, like Avax is saying, Ousmane, Keontae, Kaysen, Trey, Poku, all these guys could really benefit from action in the Summer League. And let me ask you, Dave, like, if you're talking about Kaysen, I mean, he's our top pick of this draft. Who do you want to see him out there, like, pick and roll? Who want to see him, like, figure
out? Oh, yeah, yeah. No doubt. I want to see Poku with him. I want to see the connection that they can have together. I want to see Trey Mann. I want to see these guys really see how they – I want to say the second team, really, see how they mingle with Kaysen. Because let's just be honest, breaking through the starting lineup, it only happens if there's an injury at this point. You know, so – in that case, I hope he's not a starter, but that second team is really where he's going to earn his stripes and get to the point where he's playing a lot. So, that's where I'm at. You know, I want to throw out this real quickly, OSU, you were saying where does Ousmane Dieng throw into this? Here's the thing about Ousmane. He's got some time. He's got a couple more years, but reality is that I think that he's going to be able to be top 10 players on this team top 10. I think, you know, you're good for averaging 15 to 20 minutes a game at this point. The way the Thunder move in and out, guys. Usman Jang, listen, if he keeps on playing well, he could sneak up into the top six. If any of these guys play well this season, that's where they're at. I mean, Kasan could slip in there. Poku could slip in there. Jay Will. You know, like, there's so many guys that can move into that top six. Kenny Hustle, top six. So I'm looking at this and saying, if any of these guys pop in there because of an injury, then it's going to be interesting. But for me, I'm trying to take a deep breath and take it in slow as possible, because we have so many players, so many guards, so many go-getters. It's just fun. I mean, like, we have so many different matchups that we can go. We can go big, we can go small. You know, throw Chet as the point guard out there.
Right.
And then you've got Poku and J-Dub and JRE, and the list goes on. J-Will. Like, you could have an insane group of guys that are almost 7 foot out there playing.
And OSU Trade News said, like, we could add a center and still basically have four guards, because Chet's game is basically like a guard game. And here's the thing, though. I want you to talk about, Dave, like, while we could do that, what would that do to our spacing if we ended up with somebody who liked to play on the block most of the time?
That's where I as a big man, I recognize the spacing aspect of adding a big body in there. I want a shooter, like, simple as that. Like, I want a big guy that can shoot, because if you're going to be in there in the blocks, you got to be a shooter. Like, you're talking about one of the Lopez brothers that can shoot and go in the block. That's the preferred thing. But the reality is that you want to spread your floor as much as possible for J-Dub and Shea and Giddy, because if you have a guy that's in there clogging the center, like, you're just going to put your center up against, or your guard up against the center on the switch. So having Chet out there to be able to spread the floor and Chet get downhill is the type of center that you need. That this is the perfect center for this entire, you know, scheme of things. But adding a big body at this point, it slows the game down to the point where, you know, we saw what happened with what was his name? He's playing for Celtics now.
Al Horford.
You know, like, the second Al Horford was in the blocks or at the top of the key, the entire offense is stalled. Like, they got to the point where they decided to sit him because, like, he wasn't helping our offense. He wasn't helping teach these guys how to move around. Like, you would see the ball literally hit his hands and stall. That's what we don't need. We don't need a big man to the automatically everybody stops and waits for Al Horford or this player to start moving with the ball. We need somebody to keep everything fluid in there and keep the ball going and keep the ball inside, outside, pushing it around, moving, setting picks. Like, it takes a special type of big body to do that. So I think there's probably five in the league right now, and the reality is most of them aren't getting playing time.
Bro, before we bounce, I want to just say, to Cement Eagle, thank you for your hot take here. He said Keontae will be better than Kaysen. How do you feel?
Cool. Dude, anything's possible. I mean, if you had told me that Jay Will could be better than Usman Jang, I would have laughed at you. But now they play two different positions, and Jay Will's position for what he does is way more valuable. So, you know, there's argument to that. So by you saying Keontae Johnson is going to be better than Kaysen, listen. Kasan, prove me fucking wrong. Prove this guy wrong. I mean, I want to know. Like, it's up to you, man. You were picked 10th. This other guy was picked 40 spots behind you. You got to be the one that proves him wrong. Get it, baby.
Eric, we are too. We're pumped about this season. We're pumped that you guys join us again. We're glad to be back. We're going to try to be doing this a little bit more regular. See if we can get back into a little bit of a groove. Enjoy the summer league and then come back with a fury as the season gets underway, because this is going to be a season like none other. We are in a position to once again shock the NBA world. And if we do it twice in a row, then if we shock anybody after that, it's on them, not on us, baby. We're going to come out and do what we got to do. So, Dave, as always, man, it's refreshing to get on here. And I miss it when we can't do it, but I know deep down we're better for taking time and hanging out with our families.
Yeah, and honestly, it's been nice to be able to take a deep breath and recognize and get refocused about what's happening with the Thunder. You know, doing it daily, like we've done for 3 years, has been fun, but sometimes you get, you know, lose track of the big picture, and sitting down and being able to, you know, recognize that and having, you know, 20 something hours in the car to just, you know, be lost in my mind about the Thunder has been a huge, huge thing for us. So we appreciate you guys sticking with us, and we'll be back.
And Eric, we, as far as we know, it's going to be in 1 week. We encourage everybody to do your own research, and we will see you soon. Peace.